This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Business, 6 to 8 p.m.
It's 18:47 on Power Business. It's also Wednesday. It means that Nadav Desai, who's head of sales at PSG Wealth, joins us to unpack all money issues and matters of becoming financially free, something I think we're all trying to work towards, even in this very difficult macroeconomic environment. Now, today we're looking beyond cash. Last week, we chatted about cash. But if you want to invest longer term, you need to explore other asset classes and products that allow you to access those product classes. That's if you want to beat inflation. And I think we just had this conversation with Gogetso about inflation really being stickier than what we had anticipated. And you really would be in a great place this evening to really help us, Nadav, to unpack this issue of cash and inflation and really putting your money in assets that are the right ones in this environment. Thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure having you.
I'm looking forward to unpacking this evening.
Fantastic, Nadav. Let's get right into it. Maybe give us a strong example of the power of diversifying away from cash. Why would you want to do this?
So let's make the example then one where we compare the returns or the outcomes from the returns of an investment made in cash versus something like equities. So one of the biggest reasons you want to do that is because you want to beat inflation, right? You mentioned in your opening that inflation can be sticky, and it doesn't matter whether you have a specific return number in your mind. You want to make sure that number is higher than inflation. So let's then use this example of cash versus equities. So typically, cash gives you inflation at best through the market cycle, whereas equities gives you typically inflation plus 6. So over a market cycle, that will be about 11% per year total return versus inflation of 5%, right? So it doesn't sound like much, but if you think about investing, say, 100,000 Rand for a 40-year period, so you invest once off 100,000 Rand, over that 40-year period, you will have 140,000 Rand in today's terms adjusted for inflation if you invested in cash. So after 40 years, I think, if you've got 146,000 after 40 years, you wouldn't be very happy. Compare that now to what you would have received had you invested in equity. So an inflation plus 6 scenario would give you just under 1 million Rand, so 924,000 Rand to be exact. So this 40-year difference is where the benefit of compounding starts happening, etc. And so after 40 years, just in a two-year period, you will be making more in returns, additional returns, than your whole investment in cash made for you over 40 years. I think if that doesn't explain the benefit of the compounding and the value of investing in inflation-beating assets, then I don't think there's much else that can illustrate the point.
Very, very interesting one there, Nadav. What are the complete ranges of asset classes that one can and should use when they're looking at their financial plan?
Sure. So there are actually a whole lot of asset classes. Now, I'm going to try to break it down into four or five different kinds, and I'm going to group them into two areas. So one would be what we call listed, and they're typically very well-regulated asset classes in that space, such as cash, bonds. You've got listed property, equities that you typically find in that space. And then each of those asset classes you can get in both local and offshore basis. Then on the other side, you have what are called alternative assets that you typically find that aren't as liquid. They don't have instant live pricing. And typical examples of these kinds of asset classes that sit in the space would be private equity or hedge funds. And some people even include cryptocurrencies in the space as well. So the kind of investor that will go for these more alternative investments will be people who want to be more involved in the management of their assets and typically want to own a business where they can make meaningful changes to boards, et cetera, and the strategy of the company. But typically, the majority of investors will allocate the majority of their assets towards listed assets like equities and cash.
let's talk about offshore investing, Nadav. Now, in my private time, I always say the rand is such a bup currency. And I say that because, you know, Nadav, you've seen that depreciation of our local currency there. You've seen the rand go from under 10 rand to the US dollar in 2010 to halving, you know, in value since then. How does currency play a role in getting better returns?
So it's a very picky topic for everyone in South Africa right now. I think most of us feel the pain of how, you know, if you want to compare what you could have bought 10, 15 years ago in rand terms for US investment, you know, it's literally halved. So we unfortunately live in a global village, you know, and prices across the world affect South Africa. And the price of goods that we pay here. So it's important that we try to think of a way to keep our hard-earned savings, make sure that they keep pace with the rest of the world too. However, if you're only going to focus on, for instance, the currency of exchange of one country to another, like the US, then you tend to make a binary call, and binary calls can be dangerous. So yes, over the last 15 years, there has been a one-way bet. But that is perfect hindsight. You know, I think if you think about the other example that one can easily also pick out of a hat, but investors who would have bought the US dollar at 12 rand to the dollar in 2002 had to wait over 13 years to get that back in South African rands. And so, you know, 13 years, you know, for have made that binary bet is a very dangerous one to have done as well, and wouldn't have worked out for those investors. So the lesson one should actually take out of is that you invest in offshore jurisdictions and take the currency devaluation, as we know it will do with time, as a diversification benefit, and not necessarily for running away from South Africa, where most South Africans need the money to also work for them in South Africa. They need to buy goods here, and they need to make sure that their money can work for them as well here as they will somewhere else in the world. So it is key, because it could be in that situation, like those investors who took money at 12 rand to the dollar out of the country in 2002, where they found that they lost 60% of their value in rand terms in the short term, because the rand strengthened to just over 5 rand, if I remember correctly, in 2005. And so the key is just diversification is key.
Let's also talk about the issue of beating inflation and sometimes that not being enough, Nadav. And I think, of course, we all see a standard inflation rate that the Stats say releases. But I mean, if I think of items like medical aid, school fees, electricity costs, you know, that really increases the real cost of living there. And sometimes it can seem like the number that the government is reporting on is not quite the number that ordinary people are actually paying. You know, what can people do about beating their own inflation?
So I think we, you know, you mentioned stats, and I think we need to have sympathy for an aggregate number that tries to match the inflation that you know, everyone in South Africa is experiencing. And unfortunately, we do have quite a diverse set of income earners in South Africa that, you know, will spend money differently. And that means that inflation will be different for many people in South Africa. And so, you know, there's a popular phrase called meflation, because everyone's inflation is different. So you were right, you know, your cost of living is going to be higher depending on whether you are affected by items that are affected by currency weakness. So if you are buying goods that are imported, or you have interest rates that you have to pay down on your loans, interest that you have to pay down on your loans, and things like improving a standard of living, such as you mentioned, medical aid. And so, you know, if, for instance, in the top 15% of South African income earners, you need to think about your knee inflation or meflation. And if you are in the top 15%, you need to think, okay, so my inflation is going to have a specific set of goods that I need to plan for. And if that is not inflation, but inflation plus three, you need to understand that is what you need to plan for into the future. And your savings and investments and your financial planning needs to take that into account. And so you mentioned that, Essa, earlier, and they actually have a great website where each individual South African go and work out their own inflation basket. And they can that will help with your discussions and thinking and planning for what objectives you need in order to make sure that your financial plans become a reality.
Very, very interesting, that one, Nadav. And I think, I think you and I will talk after the show. trying to balance all these opportunities, one needs some can seem somewhat complicated. When and how much should somebody invest in cash? When should they look at equities? When should they look at offshore? Is there a simple way to solve for investing appropriately across different asset classes?
Absolutely. So I can see that conversation can become quite complicated if you're saying, okay, so, you know, for this little need, I need this, and for that big need, I need Y. But then there are all the variances in between. And so what we typically do as PSG, we sit and we understand what each investor, who is a unique investor, needs. And once those needs are identified, we understand what the investment strategy is required, and then we can find those strategies that blend those asset classes that we've been talking about, whether it's cash or equities or property, how much you invest offshore versus local. And those typically are called multi-asset portfolios. And so in BSG, if I can name drop a bit, we have the BSG Wealth Moderate Fund of Fund or the BSG Balance Fund that does exactly that. Leave it to asset manager to make sure that, for instance, you need a return at 5 or 6% above inflation, and therefore you can plan quite comfortably for what the investor's need is with a simple investment strategy that will rebalance as needed and where the opportunities are.
Nadav, does this actually work? You know, some people have said that they didn't get the returns from a particular fund or strategy. What has PSG seen that has made this process not work for some investors? And is there a solution for those who especially haven't seen it work?
You know, it's very good observation. So the reality is, and it is sad, is that the average investor does not experience what you would typically see on a fact sheet. And this is not a South African issue. This is in the US, other parts of the world where you think, you know, you're getting more sophisticated investors with more access to information. There is typically what the industry calls a lag between what is on past returns on fact sheets and what clients have actually experienced. And that on average is about 3% per annum, less than what you find on those fact sheets. And so, you know, if you talk about, you know, you need to beat inflation by, say, 3%, then what the average client will then end up with is inflation. And then, rightly so, you know, most clients would go, well, I could have done better by just leaving my money in the bank or in cash. And so for PSG, it's important for us to spend the appropriate amount of time understanding our clients' cash flow needs and balancing and matching that with a time horizon that gives our clients the luxury of benefiting from the compound effects from the returns of growth assets like equity. And so we've got demonstrated evidence that our clients actually achieve what the returns they see on their fact sheets. So if, for instance, an investment strategy aims for inflation plus 6%, our clients actually get 6%. Because we co-craft our plans with our clients, and our clients co-own those plans with us. Because once those plans have been put in place, we coach and re-evaluate it through regular engagement through the process and progress to meeting our clients' needs and objectives to the point of success.
So, Nadav, for somebody who's listening at home, who's really keen to get started, where does one start?
Sure. So PSG is here to help. So, you know, absolutely, you can reach out to us if you're looking for a financial planner to help you with this. We've got wealth managers across the country that service their clients where they reside, and they build meaningful multi-decade relationships with their clients to ensure that their dreams and goals and aspirations become a reality. And so in order to find one closest to you, if you're listening, by going onto our website, psg.co.za, search for your preferences in the Find an Advisor block on the top right-hand side of the website, and you'll find just what you need.
Well, it's always a pleasure speaking to you, Nadav. Thank you so much. We'll catch up again next week. And next week, we'll be speaking on issues of emergency funds and long-term investments. And if you're really keen to engage Nadav and to really ask him some questions, wealth@psg.co.za, send an email there. We'll make sure that we're constantly trying to answer your questions here. We really are trying to assist you. Even if you're in a rut, you know, I think it's just worth reaching out and asking a question if you're really wondering. Also, if you're mistrusting of the system, you know, just reach out. I think somebody might be able just to give you a better sense of what is possible, what isn't possible, what's real and what's not real, and get you started. He said, you know, just if you really want to get started, think once you're started, things really do look up. At 7 p.m., Bayan Lezebonte has your power news.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.